श्री महागणपतये नमः। व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धिः,
व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धिः,
एकेह कुरुनन्दन
बहुशाखायनन्ताश्च
बुद्धयो व्यवसायिनाम्। So after this 30th verse, Bhagavan had talking about the karma, mainly karma yoga, and wherein he said all these verses, what karma yoga will be continued, following verses also on karma yoga, and he said how karma yoga, for a person who is given to the life of karma yoga, there is no such thing called a failure at all. There is no such thing called a loss at all. Because for a karma yogi, for a person who is committed to live a life of karma yoga, failure is relative, success is also relative, loss is relative, gain is relative, okay, honor is relative, dishonor is relative, everything is relative, and anything comes for him prasadaha. And it's ordained by the law. He also knows it cannot be changed because it has been determined by the natural law as a karma phalam. And he knows definitely there is a karma, there is a cause behind all those things. Therefore, he accepts all of them with the sameness of mind, and he progresses. There's always progress. There's no such thing called deterioration on the part of the karma yogi. And because for karma yogi, definitely karma yogi, karma bandhat pramuchyate, we are going to see that actually. Because karma yogi, there is no failure for a karma yogi. Even if living a life karma yoga, you know, it does not create any wrong effects or wrong consequences or like that, nothing will be there. There is no such thing. Why? Because ultimately karma yoga is going to definitely liberate a person. How karma yoga is going to liberate a person? Living the life of karma yoga itself is not going to liberate the person, free the person from bondage directly, but living the life of karma yoga will definitely result in knowledge, will lead him to the knowledge. How? By preparing his mind for knowledge, it will take him to knowledge. Thereby, by preparing, by contributing for preparation of the knowledge, karma yoga will help one definitely free, you know, become free from bondage. Therefore, karma yogi, there is no such thing called loss or failure for a karma yogi. If at all there is some loss or gain, there is only relative, there is not the absolute. That is the truth for everybody, but karma yogi knows this. There is no such thing called loss or gain. So we saw all that, and in this context, we saw another verse also, and he also made very clear, for one to live a life of karma yoga, what is it which makes one's life a karma yoga? No, for all the actions performed with discretion, no, in conformity with dharma, consciously, prudently, alert, you know, being alert, withdrawing from the wrong actions, doing the right alone, makes one's actions yoga. Otherwise, it's only a karma, binding karma. And not only this, performing actions in conformity with dharma, also performing actions with the proper attitude of offering it to Bhagavan, which implies one must be very clear about one's purushartha nischaya. Now, purushartha, one should be very clear about one's ultimate end being mokshaha. This we have been talking for many classes. Your purushartha nischaya means, I told you, being firm about ultimate life end, ultimate goal of human life being moksha must be very clear, and that moksha must be choiceless, must be very clear, and the choiceless end of moksha, you know, being identical with the knowledge of the reality must be very clear, because knowledge of the reality itself is moksha. Therefore, knowledge of the reality implies knowledge of the concept of Bhagavan being the whole also. Therefore, when this person, a karma yogi, who lives ultimately to discover his own freedom, to discover the truth of the whole, discover the fact of Bhagavan being the whole, therefore when he does everything, he lives this life ultimately for that means, and all that he does becomes what? Offered to Bhagavan. This is what makes him have the attitude of offering all one's actions to Bhagavan. And there is no way of offering to Bhagavan. Offering means what? How can you offer? It's really attitude. Act of, you know, offering all one's actions to Bhagavan means performing actions with an attitude of offering. We can't really offer everything. And not before doing every karma, you can't say, I'm offering this karma to Bhagavan, I'm offering karma to Bhagavan. Not like that. Just being clear about, 100% being clear about the, you know, end being, ultimate end of human life being moksha. And that moksha is in the form of knowledge of the reality, which is knowledge of the self, which also implies the knowledge of Bhagavan being the whole, the concept of Bhagavan being the whole. Therefore, what do you live this life for? What do you do everything for? What are you pursuing artha for? What are you pursuing? What are you interested in all these pleasures for? What are you, you know, living? What are you trying to live a life of dharma for? Ultimately, everything is for. Ultimately, everything is for discovering my own surupam, which is surupam of Bhagavan, which also implies the understanding of Bhagavan being the whole. Therefore, when this purushartha nischaya is there, and all that one does becomes offered to Bhagavan. Therefore, the life becomes worship. Whole life becomes life of worship. All that you do become a worship. Therefore, this performing actions in conformity with dharma, with an attitude of offering to Bhagavan, converts the action into yoga. Then this person also has the attitude of, you know, accepting everything with sameness of mind, without any hesitation, without elation, without dejection, depression, because of his capacity to look at everything as prasada, with the knowledge of the everything comes in life being ordained by the natural law, which is Bhagavan. This is the whole karma yoga. That is why he such a person, abhikramanashaha nasti, pratyavayaha nasti. There is no loss, there is no failure. Once you begin to do something, there may be failures and losses. But here there is no failure, there is no loss, there is no side effects, there is no wrong consequences, bad consequences, nothing. That's why we saw that previous verse in that context. And then there was one assurance was there. Svalpamapi asya dharmasya mahataha bhayat trayate. In living this life of karma yoga, even for a while, no, definitely, because commitment, living a life of dharma, karma yoga means, I tell you, living a sadhu life. 100%. No, a karma yogi is really man of strength, man of valor, man of courage, man of bravery, and everything, man of clarity, and then he is complete life. That's why, you svalpamapi asya dharmasya, even lived for a while, mahataha bhayat trayate. Definitely, it frees one from the great fear of samsara. What is samsara? Because when you're ignorant of samsara, you can be fear of samsara. Understand? If you don't know, that's why when we're very young, yet too innocent, we do not know the fire will burn my finger. Then you go and touch. That means what? Why do you go and touch the fire? As a child goes and touches means, because not a child is very intelligent, very brave. The child is too innocent, doesn't know anything. Therefore, child, he is not afraid of touching the fire and getting burnt. Because the child is innocent. Like that, if we do not have any fear of samsara, we do not know what samsara is all about. That is why we can't afford to be innocent anymore. We need to understand there is something called samsaraha. Then, once you understand samsaraha, then we will definitely, there will be fear. And you also know how you are fraught with samsara, fraught with the fear of samsara, and it is important for one to free oneself from this samsaraha. Samsaraha itself means what? Samyak sarati iti samsaraha. You know that? Samyak sarati iti samsaraha. Samyak sarati means what? Moves well, perfectly well. That which moves perfectly well. What, whether you like it or not, you were born. Okay? And these are the parents. It's not your choice. Paradha, okay? Whatever karma you had, the choice was there, parents were there, you were born. You don't know why these are the parents, you were born. Why you were born in this country, elsewhere, where you were born, where you are living, how you are living, okay, who your friends are, how you are earning your bread and butter, how you live your life, nothing, you know, just you are living here. Why the advertisements are changing, water comes, everything is happening. You don't know why you are here. And what are you living here for ultimately? Only to see all this life is ultimate just only for the artha, kama and dharma? Or for something else also? What is this life? Nothing we know. That is why, and you are born here. Live this life and you are definite and all those who are born are going to die also one day, then death comes. And after death, does the life come to an end? No. Okay, this life in this body comes to an end. But the life does not come to an end. That means what? Again, we already studied how there is, Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam. Here also we studied in Bhagavad Gita, Jatasya Dhruvam, Dhruvaham, Dhruvam, Dhruvaham Rityuhu, Mrutasya Janma Dhruvam. We had it, definitely, definite birth is definite for the one who is born. Okay, one who's dead, birth is different for the one who's dead, and birth is different for the one who's dead, and the death is different for the one who's born. It is aparihariye arthe, aparihariya arthaha, unalterable, unchangeable. No situation, there's no nothing. This is the thing that will come continuous. How many lives? The life is a beginningless, endless cycle of. Life is a beginningless, endless cycle of many births and deaths. Okay? Cycle of births and deaths. It's called samsaraha. And there's no way of coming out of it. Samsaraha means mahat bhaya, my God. There's no way of coming out of this cycle of births and deaths. I don't need to get out of it. I can be here very well. You can be here very well, but don't think the life will be one life of pleasures. Like the life will be both life of pains and pleasures. Understand? And because, why? Because we know you have beginninglessly, you have accumulated Sanchitam Karma. Sanchitam Karma is there. Always, when you are born, you perform actions, accumulate Karma Phalam, Karma Phala is in store, which is called Sanchitam Karma Phalam. Understand? Ahanchitam, you want for Sanchitam, you start exhausting in the present life, which is Prarabdha. While exhausting, you have any choice about it? No. You're exhausting the Prarabdha. The whole life, present life of every human being, please understand, is living, present life is only exhaustion of Prarabdham. All of us are living our own Prarabdha Karma, Phalam. Living Prarabdha, we are exhausting our Prarabdha Karma, Phalam. The very life itself, we are living to exhaust the power of the karma pallam. Understand? While exhausting the power of the karma pallam, are we really getting rid of the karma pallam for good or what? No. While exhausting the karma pallam, because we are again living in place, acting and performing actions, we are also accumulating the what? Again karma pallams, which is called agami karma pallam, which will join the sanchitam. So this Sanchitam Karma Phalam is always, okay, fixed deposit. And we always have it. And we always draw some of it. We exhaust some, again we make new investments, okay, which is called Agami. So Sanchitam always leads to Prarabdham. While exhausting Prarabdham, we accumulate Agami. Agami joins the Sanchitam. Again, another portion of Sanchitam becomes Prarabdha. While exhausting the Prarabdha, again you accumulate Agami. This Agami again joins the Sanchitam. This is what is Samsaraha. Okay? Bondage. This is called Karma Bandha, means Karma Phala. Okay? Anubhavartham Bandha. Okay? The bondage means, for the sake of exhausting the results of karmas, we are born again and again and again. While born, when you are living, again you are accumulating, you are collecting, storing. Is there any choice about it? No. There is no choice. This is what we have to understand, our choicelessness. We have choice over karma. We can only choose to do the right action, avoid the wrong action. That's all. That much choice we have, not any other choice. There's no such thing called living a life without doing actions and without accumulating the karma phalams. That is why our shastram says bandha, bondage. Okay? It goes like this. Continuously, every time you are exhausting, every time you are born and you are living, you are exhausting Prarabdha. While exhausting the Prarabdha, you be sure you are also accumulating what? Agami. And not only Agami, all day you have still some more Sanchitam to be exhausted. Understand? The next, for next future Parada also we have Sanchitam. Understand? You also accumulate Agami. This is Karma Bandha. This called Samsaraha. There's no way of getting out of it. There's no way of getting out of it. How long will you have this bondage? I tell you, as there's no way of exhausting all your karma phalams, and one day you'll become free. People think, no? Okay, do all the karma, and keep on doing the karma, and you exhaust all your papam punyams, then one day you'll become free. It is not like, okay, I've got a lot of money in the bank. As long as I have all the money in the bank, I had to be alive, means what somebody says, oh my God. No? Suppose you can, no, you had to, if you draw all your money from the bank, if you exhaust, okay, spend all the money, draw all the money, when you become nil account, then you will be free to go. Suppose somebody says, how nice it will be, you can go and draw all the money, spend everything, you can say, okay, nil account, I can go now. No, this is not the case. Understand? It will never happen. You know why? Every time you exhaust Paradham, you accumulate what? Agami. Agami will join what? Sanchitam. Understand? But when paying the old debts, I'm also making new debts. This we don't remember this. That is why it will never, even if you exhaust, even if you do only right actions, only accumulate punyam also, still punyam also is binding. Even to enjoy the punya phalam of pleasure, okay, pleasure of punya phalam, also you have to be born again. It's not possible for one to have only life of pleasures. It's impossible. Because there will be some papam somewhere, it will come. That is why this is called bondage. It's called bandha. Is it clear now what I'm saying? This bandha. Then what is the way? How can I then become free from this? If it is not possible at all, Shastra says, come on. Who has bandha? Who wants to become free? Okay? So the bondage, bandha and moksha, bondage and freedom from bondage are notions. Okay? As long as you have identity with the body, mind, sense complex, as long as you think you do not know what the self is, as long as you identify with the body is complex, as long as you think you are the doer and you are the enjoyer, this notion, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, these notions, no, you have this punyam papam, you have this bondage. Once you are free from this bondage, okay, notion that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, then you are free. You don't have paradha, you exhaust your paradha, understand? Without being affected by the paradha, you become free from, Sanchitam will dissolve, Agami also will resolve, will disappear. Understand? As long as the water thinks, I have the wave, it has. Okay? The water thinks, okay, the wave is me. Where is it? As long as, understand? Similarly, the doer, the notion, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, as long as these notions are there, there is bondage. The notions, resolving the notion that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, is what? Really discovering freedom. Freedom from being the doer and enjoyer. Thereby, once you are free from enjoyership, means what? You have no punyam, no papam, no agami, no hajitam, paradha exhausted, life, okay, mokshaha. This is what is liberation of the soul, okay? Understand now what is liberation? Really speaking, it's just the notion, buddhihi. It's just Shastram breaks. If really you have to exhaust all your papa punyam one day, you have to become free, means it's impossible. It will never happen. It's all in the notion. Understand? That is why what you need is, how can you free yourself from the notion that you are the doer and you are the enjoyer? Freeing oneself from this notion of oneself being the doer and enjoyer is possible only in the wake of the knowledge of his self, by correcting the error, in wrong identity. That is why whole teaching is for knowledge. Just the recognition, just the changing the notion. See what it is. oh, you cannot say there's no, by just simply thinking there's no snake. If you simply think, will the fear go when I see the snake? Somebody comes and says, come on, you think there's no snake, you will become free. No, by thinking I cannot go. I have to have proper understanding, knowledge that there's really, there is no snake. Only then I'll be free. For it I should know, come on, what is there? There is a rope. What is there is rope should become very clear. For me to know the fact of the snake being not there, thereby I become free from fear of snake for good. That's the only way. That is why knowledge is important here. And for that jnanam, overnight, it's not want to take place overnight. The mind has to be ready. How can you live this life? How are you going to live your paradha? If you knowledge is your ultimate goal, live the life, no? Live the paradha. Living this paradha, exhausting this paradha, living the present life, convert this whole life into life of yogaha. Life of karma yogaha. How can I convert my life into a life of yogaha? Life of karma yogaha. Convert all the karma you do into yoga. How? By having proper attitude. Understand? That attitude, how you can have a proper attitude without having purushartha nischaya? That is why without the purushartha nischaya, the attitude, karma yoga, converting the karma into yoga is purely attitude. Understand? It's in the mind. You cannot have this purushartha nischaya is very, very, very clear. Must be very important. What is it I want in life? Ultimately, it should be very clear. Then, this is what I am living my life for ultimately. Ultimately, I am living my life for this. Okay? That must be very clear. Then, once the purushartha nischaya is there, the knowledge being the only means is very clear. Then, the importance of mind becoming pure and steady is very clear. I just surrender, okay? Surrender myself to Bhagavan, I surrender myself to the Dharma, then live a life of Dharma, everything I do becomes Arpitam Bhavati. Ishwara Arpanam, Ishwara Arpitam Bhavati. Then this Karma Yoga. But in that Karma Yoga, definitely, that is how you become definitely Mahataha Bhayat Trayate. It frees one from great fear of samsara. So next, the 41st verse, we see, this shloka again emphasizes, suppose if the person has vyavasayatmika buddhihi yeka iha asmin janma, asmin loke, now in this world, in this universe, while living his life of samsara, he kuru nandana, o son of, okay, joy of kuru clan. Nandana means, no, nandaha, nandanaha means joy, in fact, really speaking. Son, literally, at least joy is the correct word. Nand dhatuhu, root is the Nandakumara, so the same meaning. We were talking yesterday in the talk. So nandati is the verb. Nand, nandati. And a is a prefix. Nandaha means joy. Nandati means rejoices. Anandati also means rejoices. Anandaha is noun. Okay? Nandita, nandita becomes our participle, it becomes. So here, nandanaha is the word, okay? Kuru Nandanaha means the joy of the clan of the entire Kuru is Arjuna here. That is a nice way of addressing people. We can also say, oh, British Nandanaha. I can call all, okay, Britain Nandanaha. I can call all of you as joy of Britain. Okay? Like that. It is all just to make it. And then here, Eka Iha Vyavasayatmika Buddhihi Eka. Vyavasayatmika buddhihi eka. Remember, nischayatmika buddhihi eka. Okay? Nischayatmika what now? Suppose, if the person has the single-pointedness means what? What is single-pointedness? Here, we are talking about meditation here. The person who is very clear about his ultimate goal. If you are very clear about your ultimate goal being, okay, discovering the freedom which is already there, then moksha is the ultimate goal. If you know in a choiceless ultimate goal, then your ultimate goal is one. If moksha is not your ultimate goal, then definitely you will have many goals. who is the one who has one goal? Okay, who is the one who's the person of, you know, single pointedness means what? The one who has the person who has only one goal as ultimate one is the person of single pointedness. How can he have, if moksha is the ultimate goal, then moksha ultimate end can be one. If moksha, the ultimate goal, is not very clear, then he has many ends. Then what will happen? Bahushakaha, anantaha, buddhayaha, okay, buddhaya, avyavasayinam. So avyavasayi means the one who does not have, okay, avyavasayi, vyavasayaha means, be clear about the end, okay, avyavasayina means for those who do not have moksha as their ultimate end, they are avyavasayinaha. Okay, vyavasayi is the one who has moksha as the ultimate goal, one who knows moksha being the ultimate goal. Those who do not know the moksha being the ultimate goal are avyavasayinaha. For such people, how many end is one or many? End is not one, ends are many. Not only many, multi, okay, many branched, bahushakaha, endless are the goals. And not only endless, there are many branched also, bahushakaha, buddhaya, okay, avyavasayinam. This is the meaning of this verse, okay, we'll see the bhashya now. Well, time is ration now.
व्यवसायात्मिका
मीन्स व्हाट निश्चय स्वभाव. निश्चय स्वभाव मीन्स व्हाट हियर? ओके, बीइंग डेफिनेट अबाउट द अल्टीमेट एंड बीइंग मोक्षः. देन buddhi hi eka. Eka hai buddhi na, not buddhi is one here. Okay, that means goal is one, means mind is focused towards one goal. Ultimate goal is moksha alone, only one, not many. Then itara
viparita
buddhi
shakha bedasya
badhika samyak
प्रमाणजनितत्वात्
इह श्रेयो मार्गे हे कुरुनन्दन. सी इतर विपरीत बुद्धि शाखा भेदस्य बाधिका. सी इतर विपरीत बुद्धि शाखा भेदस्य बाधिका मीन्स सपोज वन्स द अल्टिमेट एंड इज वेरी क्लियर, then naturally all other ends become what? Not the ultimate. They become what? Means. Therefore, then the ultimate, suppose if the moksha being the ultimate is not very clear, then naturally all other goals becomes ultimate. Artha, kama, dharma will become the goals. Not even dharma. Artha, kama will become the ultimate goals. Okay? But this, when the moksha being the ultimate goal is very clear, then that knowledge really helps one to understand other ends being the means, other ends being not the ultimate. It's clear. Therefore, what happened? Shreyo marge he samyak pramana janitatvat. Iha shreyo marge he kurunandana. Because samyak pramana janitatvat. Now suppose, now due to the proper pramana, we understand, okay, you analyze all the purusharthas, what is artha, what is kamaha, we do in the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, what is artha, what is kamaha, what is dharmaha, what is moksha, is there anything which can be the fifth goal? No, analyze very well all that you want in life, all that you pursue in life, and then you really understand, come on, this is what is artha, all that I seek in life is, seek in life for security is artha. Then really speaking, even though I pursue these things for security, but still there is no real security. Understand? Because without them I feel secure, forcing them also I continue to feel insecure. Therefore, we understand all those things, we analyze, but that does not mean that you should not pursue things which make you feel secure. Understand? Because that's very much needed for this life as an infrastructure. So, artha, you analyze what these pleasures are, analyze what dharma is all about, you understand how important it is to live a life of dharma, to do the right things, to earn punyam. At the same time, you know the limitations of dharma also. Even punyam will take me where? How long? No? How far can it take me? How far can I progress with all punyam, having only punyam? Even they understand the limitations. So, understand limitations of artha, kama, dharma. Then shreyo marge, okay? That is where you understand. Come on, all that they seek is, I want to be free from all limitations and problems in life and sorrow. What I seek is happiness. This, no? Samyak pramana janitatva, this clarity comes through the analysis of all these purusharthas. Then you understand moksha is the ultimate choiceless goal, and that moksha is in the form of jnanam. Therefore, knowledge itself becomes what? Knowledge of the truth. Thereby, knowledge of the self becomes the ultimate goal, and for which all that I need is my prepared mind has to be prepared. When it is very clear, artha kama dharma become what? Means to accomplish ultimately the moksha. You don't mistake the means for the ultimate goal, end. Understand, if the end is very clear, means will be understood as means. Otherwise, means it will be mistaken for the end. When the means is mistaken for the end, then what becomes? Then bahushakaha anantaha. Therefore, here, shreyo marge, only moksha being the ultimate goal means, and everything else become what? Baditam bhavati as the means. Then, yaha, punaha, itaraha, viparita buddhayaha, yasam, shakha-beda, pracharavashat, anantaha, aparaha, anuparataha, samsaraha, nitya-pratataha, vistirnaha, bhavati, vistirnaha, bhavati,
vistirnaha, bhavati.
Okay, so here, yaha punaha, yaha punaha itraha viparita buddhayaha, yasam shaka beda prachara vashat anantaha. So anantaha, he gives the meaning aparaha. Why shaka beda prachara vashat? Viparita buddhayaha means what? Once you are not, now viparita buddhi means one, the unclear mind, okay? The mind is not clear. Nischayatmika buddhi, viparita buddhi means what? Viparita buddhi means the unclear mind, for the unclear intellect, no? Due to the lack of clarity, what happens now? Shaka beda prachara vashat. Shaka beda prachara vashat means what we can say, because the ends are many branched, no? Many ends become many branched also, not only many, many branched. Therefore, anantaha, why it is anantaha, he says, shaka beda prachara vashate, then anantaha, becomes anantaha means aparaha. Aparaha means what? Endless, limitless. Okay, anantaha, but the meaning is aparaha, he gives another word, aparaha. That is that anuparataha samsaraha. Anupratam is uncontrollable, no? It will be continuous, it will be endless means, for such people, avyavasayina, for the people who are not clear-minded, then end cannot be one, ends will be many. Because ends will be many, what will happen now? They have to be doing lot of karma. Because their karma, palams will be many, understand? There cannot be yoga buddhi, understand? There can't be yoga, therefore always, all the more you do, the more you accumulate, the more you become, the ego will be highly bloated, that you will be thinking, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, and more will be what? anuparataha samsaraha. Samsaraha will be what? Also endless. Samsara will be continuous. Understand? Mm-hmm. Uncontrollable means what? You can't control samsara, okay? Samsaram also will be continuous. Samsaraha anuparataha. Samsara will be continuous for those whose ends are endless and limitless. Why? Because of their attention of the mind is given to multi-branched ends. Okay? They have ends are many. Why the ends are many? Because the ultimate end being moksha, one end is not very clear. That's why first thing Shastra emphasizes is ultimate end of human life being one thing must be very clear. Then all other ends are to be accomplished, but they become only means. If the ultimate end is not very clear, I tell you, slogging will be inevitable. That is what samsaraha anuparataha. This is satya. This is a fact. It is not simply to please anything. It's a fact. There's many branched, okay, because that Shaka, this is very beautiful, he says here, Shaka Beda Prachara Vashat, okay? Shaka Beda Prachara means what? No, it is spread widely. The ends are many, many branched. So widely spread means what? Attention is so scattered. Such a person, definitely, highly, this samsara, this anantaha, aparaha, and samsaraha, anuparataha, bhavati, dhanfala will be continuous. There is no way of his samsara coming to an end. Okay, then nitya pratataha, okay, it will be nitya pratataha, it will be continuous and everlasting. Not only that, vistirnaha, it is so wide, samsara is very wide, understand? Very, very wide and deep for such a person. Bhavati, pramana janita viveka,
pramana
janita,
viveka,
buddhi,
buddhi,
nimitta vashat cha,
uparatasu,
ananta beda buddhishu,
samsaraha api,
uparamate,
Taha buddhayaha,
okay, what he says here? See, pramana janita viveka buddhi nimitta vashat. See, pramana janita buddhi viveka buddhi nimitta vashat. See, pramana janita buddhi viveka means, see, you come to know, okay, through pramanam. Through given means of knowledge, you understand all these things. What is Kartha, Kama, Dharma, Moksha? Have you ever analyzed this before? See, even though we've been searching for happiness, have we ever thought, first of all, Vedanta Shastra study, philosophy, study of philosophy itself, when do you start? Why do you want to study philosophy? Have you ever questioned this? In Vedanta Shastra class, first thing we have to understand is, Pramanam makes you understand. Come on, there's something called samsaraha. Know this fact. There is samsaraha. What? Understand? And you are helplessly pursuing all these things. And all these pursuits can be divided into four: artha, kama, dharma, moksha. You know what is that you are ultimately searching for? Understand? So non-pursuit of the artha, kama, dharma will not help you to attain moksha. Okay? Pursuit of this also will not help you attain moksha. But what is choiceless here, moksha? You know, all these things, the buddhi, how do you get this? How do you get this viveka? How do you have this discriminative knowledge of, come on, what am I really seeking in life? You are seeking not knowing what you are seeking until you are exposed to Shastram. And only then Shastram helps you to understand, come on, you are seeking only this. But where should you go and search for it? Okay, this also we don't know. Have you ever had vivekam? What you are searching for, we never knew. Where should you go and search it for, we did not know. Understand? In fact, you don't need to search it at all. It is very much there. All that you need to know that. The next thing. don't need to do any karma. Come on, sitting quietly, closing your eyes. Okay, focus your mind on something else. What are you doing? You're taming your mind. Okay, like taming. That's also, of course, that understand the relevance of practicing that meditation. What are you meditating for ultimately? Understand? Therefore, all these things we understand this context. Then, that's how pramana, janita, viveka, buddhi. Okay, you got her viveka, buddhi. This discriminative, clear knowledge of, okay, what is ultimate, where is it, what are the purusharthas, what this ultimate end is, where is it available, what am I searching for. This jnana, only then you become what? Vivasayatmika buddhihi. Otherwise, we all of us will be what? Avyavasayinaha. See, if the pramana janita viveka buddhi is pramana janita viveka buddhi, if it is not there, now if we do not know through the pramanam, through the shastram, if we do not understand that what our ultimate goal is, what I am seeking in life, where should I search for it, etc., etc., if we do not know, then what buddhi will be what? Will also be, our buddhis also will be what? Given to many ends. Understand? Therefore, then that's what he says here. Nimitta vashatcha uparatasu ananta beda buddhishu.
Pramana janita, exactly, Swami.
Pramana janita means born through pramanam, born of pramanam. Born of means of knowledge. See, buddhi vivekaha. He says here, buddhi vive nimitta vashat. Buddhi, okay, suppose knowledge is born. What is knowledge? There is light. Okay, this is knowledge. This knowledge is born. Okay, through what? With the help of what? Pramana janitam. Pramana janitam means born of pramanam, born through pramanam, born with the help of pramanam. Pramanam means a means of knowledge. See, without pramanam vina, buddhihi na janayati. Okay, the knowledge does not take place without buddhi, without pramanam. The buddhihi, knowledge, understanding does not happen, cognition does not take place without the pramanam. Understand? So, shastra pramanam, first of all, helps you to understand all these questions before it starts unfolding. Come on, this is what is Brahman, this is what is Atma. Know this. Before it starts this, it helps you because for you to be focused. Otherwise, you won't listen to what Shastram says. If Shastram has to make you listen to what the Shastram says, you have to be focused, listen to what Shastram says. When will you be interested? Only if you know what you are going to gain. Understand? And before it tells what you are going to gain, it tells, come on, not only that you are going to gain, this is what you are searching. Understand? See, sometimes it's very great help. I imagine that we'll be like wandering. It's like, you know, standing in the middle of the jungle, your eyes tied. No, you're not knowing where to go, what to do. Imagine the blind person is walking. His eyes are again tied, okay? In the middle of the jungle, nobody is there. What will be the situation? That is how we'll be in this life. If Shastra does not tell us, this, of course, we'll be doing something or the other, we'll be facing a lot of accidents and things. But here what Shastram says is, here, come on, this is what, this is pramana janita buddhihi. Before it starts itself, it makes it very clear. Okay, does not say, see, any, does not talk any in fear of any pursuit. Okay, please remember very carefully, Shastram does not say any pursuit, talk about any pursuit as inferior. Artha pursuit is Lakshmi, we need it. Artha pursuit is important. Come up in, all pleasures in life are important. But pursuit of artha and kama must be in conformity with dharma. Not that is also very made very clear. At the same time, know the limitations of artha, kama and dharma. You need all these things. You need to pursue these things in conformity with dharma. But know the limitations of all these things. They all should serve as means ultimately to accomplish this end. Because moksha is the ultimate choiceless goal for you. All that you want is freedom from these limitations. It is a fact, okay? That is only in knowledge. But then it is very clear. Vivasayatmika buddhihi. Understand? Mind becomes single-pointed. Focused. Otherwise, bhavishakaha anantaha. Because for your happiness, for your things, we'll be doing so many things. So many things we'll be doing. Even now we are doing. See, a person of purusharth nischeha also does many things. A person without purusharth nischeha also does many things. I don't understand what I'm saying. Doing many things is different, but the focus is what on what? Everybody is doing many things. All of us are doing many, many things. Going, eating, coming, sitting, walking, talking, everything we are doing. But the vivasaya, who is the vivasayatmika buddhihi? Who is the person of vivasayatmika buddhihi? Or who is the vyavasayi? Vyavasayi is the single-pointed. Person of single-pointedness. That means the person of clarity regarding about the end. Avyavasayi, who is avyavasayi? The person without clarity about the ultimate end. Okay? If the ultimate end is not moksha, then end cannot be one. Then he says bhavishakaha. Okay? Then his mind will be what? His ends will be many. Then his buddhi will be scattered, many branched. Understand? Therefore, for such a person, samsara will be what? Anuparatha. It will be continuous. Buddhayaha bahushakaha, buddhaya shakaha, yasam taha bahushakaha, bahu bedaha ityetat. The same thing is repeating till now. What he says is, such people, see, vyavasayi avyavasayi. Remember these things. For a person of the clarity, whose ultimate goal is one, for him, okay, he is a vivasaya. For him, a vivasayatmika buddhihi mihari. He is personal single pointedness. I mean, his attention is not disturbed, scattered. So similarly here, avyavasaya is the one whose end is not mokshaha. That means whose ends are many, many, many branched, endless. And therefore, for whom samsara also is what? Will be continuous. Is it clear? This verse is always, people give a lot of confused meaning here. Pratishaka bedena hi anantacha. Why it is endless, he explains. Why for such people? For people for whom ultimate end is not mokshaha. If the ultimate end being moksha is not clear, then who are they? Avyavasayinaha. For them, buddheha anantaha, when you say bahushakaha means, why they are many branched? Why anantaha means? Because bahushakaha, because many branched. Understand? Because I tell you, arthaha becomes the ultimate goal means, kamaha becomes the ultimate for them. And imagine how much of artha you possess, still there will be sense of dissatisfaction. And you will be expanding. The more you acquire, the more you want to do, the more you acquire, the more famous you become, the more popular you become. Okay, the more pressure you enjoy, the better pressures you want. There is no end for that. Understand? Promise, that's satyam. That is the state, because that is how the mind is. See, when you don't have anything at all, okay, something is better. Something you get, you expect something better. Something better. That is the nature of the mind. That is why always arthakamas will be, I can tell you in short, arthakamas will become the ultimate. Well, arthakamas become the ultimate end means, okay, even if dharma, we will not know the value of dharma, then bahushakaha, anantaha, then dharma also will go again, dharma also, samsaraha, then anuparataha. Okay, it will be continuous. Same thing he repeats here. Prati shakha bedena, because of every shakha bedaha, okay, due to the difference in every disease, so many. One thing leads to other thing, so many things. You know? That's why he says, prati shakha bedena hi anantaha buddhayaha. Understand? Kesham, for whom Kesham.
Kesham.
For whom this buddhi is become, the mind become multi, no? They scattered, no? He says, avyavasayinam. Avyavasayinam. Okay? Whose minds become many branched, or whose mind becomes scattered, cannot be focused, because he says avyavasayinam, for those whose ends are many. That's all simple. Vyavasayi is the one whose end is, ultimate end is one, mokshaha. Okay? Avyavasayi is the one for whom moksha is not the ultimate end, thereby whose ends are many and many multi, okay, multi branched, thereby, is it clear now? This is called, for such people, atta should be scattered. So mantra repeats. Pramana janita,
pramana janita,
viveka buddhi,
Rahitanam.
Understand now? See, Pramana Janita Viveka Buddhihi. Listen carefully. It's one sentence. Better understand. See, Viveka Buddhihi means what? Discriminative understanding. Viveka itself is enough. Discriminative knowledge, discriminative understanding is called Viveka Jnanam. Vivekaha, Viveka Buddhihi. All these three words mean the same. Vivekaha means discrimination. Viveka Buddhihi, discriminative understanding. Or Viveka Jnanam, discriminative knowledge. This Viveka Buddhihi, okay, what is the ultimate, what is the absolute, what is ephemeral, what is ultimate, what is, okay, this difference, what is the means, what is the end, what is ultimately I seek, what do I relatively seek? This Viveka Buddhihi is not there for human mind. When you are born, as you are living your life, definitely this Viveka Buddhihi doesn't just dawn on you, unless you did a lot of tapas in your previous lives. For generally, for normal human being, Viveka Buddhihi is not born. Suppose you somehow, because some punyam stumbled upon some teacher somewhere, some shastra class, okay, then wherever they start Vedanta class, they have to first think, they have to tell you the purpose of studying the Vedanta Shastram. Because they want you to have respect for the Shastram. Because very, very important. Shastram, whether the Shastram has to be highly revered. Okay? In fact, Shastram, you have to respect this. They mean you have Shraddha in that. Come with fervor to study. That means that is possible only if there is commitment. And how can you become committed to the study of Shastram? If you don't know the value of what you are going to gain by studying the Shastram. Commitment. And for that there must be conviction also. So conviction and commitment, not to the pursuit of study of Shastram, will be there only if you know what you are going to gain out of it. Therefore, first thing what they do is, come on, know this. Okay, what is this like? What are you studying the Shastram for? The Shastram is the means of knowledge of the truth of the whole Jagat. You want, philosophy. Knowledge of the truth. You are going to gain the knowledge of the truth. Why should I gain the knowledge of the truth, okay? What am I going to get out of it by knowing the knowledge of the truth? Knowledge of the truth means you are not going to gain knowledge of the truth anywhere else, okay? Because truth of the whole cannot be different from the truth of yourself. Because you are part of the whole. Therefore, knowing the truth of yourself itself is the knowing the truth of the whole. Therefore, you are going to know thyself. Okay, self-knowledge, what am I going to gain out of it? If you know this, come on, first of all, you don't know that. You don't know self, and now you know the self, better you know the self. You know the self, all the notions you have about yourself will be resolved, then you'll be free. That you are the doer, you are the enjoyer, all the notions will be resolved. Not understand, all because the whole samsara itself, why samsara is there? Because always people die with a lot of unfulfilled desires. I tell you, human beings, if you don't die without the unfulfilled desires, then you won't be born. You are born because of your death, previous death was with unfulfilled desires. Understand? Not only unfulfilled desires, there's still desires dormant in the mind, which have yet to surface. Understand? And which had to be fulfilled also. Why those desires are out there? Because why there's a pressure? Why such desires should surface? The desire itself is because of the needs. Why there are needs? Why such a sense of now being needful? Why there are needs? Because there is inadequacy. How do you say inadequacy? The very desire is the proof that you are inadequate person. Understand? That is why Shastra doesn't say having desires, being desirous of things is wrong and then no. Every desire is divine, nice. We don't need to blame, we don't need to find fault, we don't feel bad about having desires. Desires are fine. Everything is divine here. Nothing which is not divine here. And it's a very natural. Why there is natural? Because inadequacy is there. Sense of inadequacy. No, I'm okay, I don't feel inadequate. Even you can say that, but still the very desire is the proof that you're an inadequate person. Understand? And inadequacy is there, come on. Here at least Shastram says, don't feel shy, okay? I am very non-judgmental. Shastram says, I accept you as you are, okay? Still you are very beloved and dear to me. Say Saumya. All the teachers call, teach students as Saumya. Hey Saumya, oh my beloved, oh my dear, okay? Listen to me. You accept the fact that you are inadequate, okay? And inadequacy, why inadequacy is due to your wrong identity. Understand? Your smallness. Why you feel you are small? Inadequacy is due to your sense of being small. The smallness is centered on I. You think I am small. That notion is there. That is because of your identity with your, just only with your body maintenance complex. Is nothing wrong if you have identity with the body maintenance complex. What should you have identity with them? Okay? But you also know you are not only the body maintenance complex. There is something more about you. And you, when you know you, that is when your identity is correct, right identity, then you will see in knowing, having the right identity, knowing the self, you resolve the very all wrong notions about you have about yourself. The problem centered on I, that I am small. The smallness, okay, the problem of the smallness being centered on I will be resolved. That is what is moksha. Okay? Not in knowing the truth and going somewhere, flying somewhere. Okay, not yogic flights and all those things here. It's only here the problem is with the you, not anywhere else. That is why knowledge is very important here. The problem of, okay, the smallness being centered on I is the problem. This is what you have to understand. This is what is bondage. Understand? Therefore, you need to discover yourself. Which implies discover your sarupam of happiness, limitlessness, all those things, everything. Okay? In throwing one stone, you get everything. Here. Therefore, this is the knowledge. That is why be clear about it. And artha, kama, dharma, all are important here. Pursue artha and dharma, kama, in conformity with dharma, ultimately for discovering your own self, which is happiness, which is limitlessness, which is Bhagavan, which is the truth of the whole, which is the accomplishment, real accomplishment. And that is why once it is very clear, that's why Shastram, this Viveka Buddhihi Janayati, Shastra Pramanam Janayati. If I say Netra Pramanam Prakashaha Asti Iti Jnanam Janayati. Okay? There is light, this knowledge, Janakam. Who gives birth to the knowledge of that light is? Who gives? Giving birth means what? Through which you come to know there is light. Understand? So Pramanam Janayati, the means of knowledge, gives birth to or creates the knowledge. Doesn't create the knowledge. In fact, knowledge is not created. Somehow serves as means, okay, instrument for the knowledge to manifest. I shouldn't say the word create again. We have to be very careful. Understand? But still we have to use it. It serves as instrument for the knowledge to surface, for the knowledge to manifest, for the knowledge which is already there to rise. Therefore, we say pramanam janayati. Therefore, pramana janita viveka buddhihi. Viveka buddhihi, discriminative knowledge, understanding of what arthai, what are all the human pursuits, how they can be classified into four arthakama dharma moksha, and of the four, what is paramaha purushartha, what is the ultimate, what dharma is all about, what jnana, okay, kama is, what artha is, how arthakama are only the means. I need to pursue arthakama. I should not remain with pursuing arthakama. I should pursue arthakama, knowing their limitations, what they can give, what they cannot give. Understand? In conformity with dharma, always there is dharma, arthakama, moksha, we say. And ultimately for moksha, moksha is the ultimate, choiceless, common human goal. Okay? This must be very clear. This comes, what is the ultimate goal? Then other goals become the means to accomplish the goal. This is what is what? Viveka buddhihi. How did you get it? It came into being. Before it, I didn't have this way. This clarity, this discriminative knowledge, I did not have before. After being exposed to Shastram, I get it. Therefore, pramana janita viveka buddhihi. Understand? The viveka, this discriminative knowledge, born through the pramanam, which I got, okay, with the help of the shastram, called pramana janita viveka buddhihi. We are seeking happiness, but have you ever thought about it? No. Only then you become what? Vyavasayi. Okay, pramana janita viveka buddhihi. Viveka buddhihi, all of us are intelligent enough to have viveka buddhihi. But we have to respect what? Pramanam. Okay, the shastram. So with the help of the shastram, we understand purushartha, we have purushartha nischayaha first. Then understand, whereas if the people who are the avyavasayinaha, the Shankara here says, okay, he says pramana janita buddhi rahitaha. Okay, they did not have pramana. Buddhi rahitaha means vivek, those who lack, people who are devoid of this discriminative understanding of moksha being the ultimate goal and other ends being the means to accomplish the ultimate end of moksha. They are, understand, people who are devoid of, who lack this discriminative knowledge born through the shastram. They are avyavasayinaha. Is it clear now?
Could I ask one question?
Yeah.
We continue. This, I suddenly just listing finally again to this purushartha thing. The question now arises, is it possible to even have moksha to the purushartha if there is no arthakama? See, I mean, you talk about arthakama in conformity with dharma as being means, you know.
Without jnanama? You want to enter jnanam, is it possible?
No, I'm asking you, is it possible for there to be moksha without arthakama?
No.
Impossible. So you have to produce
arthakama. What I'm saying, Pitiji, for moksha, all that you need is only jnana.
Okay.
Okay, you don't need arthakama for moksha. That's what I'm saying. For moksha, you don't need arthakama. You don't need jnana. But for jnanam, you need to live this life. You need to what? Antakarna Shuddhi, Antakarna Aishchalyam. In fact, jnanam and moksha is one. Not itself is moksha.
Yeah.
Okay? Then whether for moksha or for jnanam, we can say. For jnanam, arthakamas are required or not? That's the question.
That's the question.
For jnanam, which is moksha,
yeah.
Self-knowledge itself is moksha. When you say, for the moksha, for very jnanam, do we need arthakama or not?
Right. That's the question.
We don't, for attakam, for jnanam, what you want is antakarna shuddhihi and antakarna naischalyam.
Mm-hmm.
Understand?
Mm-hmm.
But antakarna shuddhihi and antakarna naischalyam implies what? Living this life. Understand?
Mm-hmm.
Living this life. Living this life implies what? You're recurring attakama. That is why attakama pursuit is never said to be, don't want, we never say attakama, the pursuit of attakama. You never said to be bad or wrong.
But only arthakama as a yoga. I mean the pursuit of arthakama as a yoga.
Mm.
Only that will deliver jnana.
That will prepare the mind for jnana.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But just the mere pursuit of arthakama does not.
Mere pursuit of arthakama, mere arthakama, bahushakaha, anantaha, avyavasayinam. Okay?
So you need to pursue artha karma in conformity with dharma as a yoga.
Yeah. For jnanam, which is moksha.
Which?
Itself is moksha.
Yeah. Which prepares the mind for jnanam, which is moksha.
Yeah.
By delivering antakarna shuddhi and antakarna naishchalya. There is no other way but through karma, living the life.
Sipitiji, life is karma already. Life means karma only. Life means karma. Whether you have purushartha nischaya or not, whether you have moksha's end or not, living means karma. But that karma, whether it is yoga or karma, mere karma binds you. You are going to see later on. The following verse you are going to see today. This time I had to. Mere karma binds you. Karma yoga liberates you. You're going to see. Karma badnati. Karma yoga. Okay? Karma yogena muchyate. Karma yoga liberates. Karma binds. What does it mean? The one who performs karma, okay, one who lives a life of karma, doing activities. So karma binds. Karma yoga liberates. What is the difference here? Both lives, in life of karma yoga, life is nothing but karma. Life of karma, okay? The one who lives, one whose life is not a karma yoga also, life is nothing but karma. But what is the difference which converts what he does into yoga? Completely attitude, isn't it? Purushartha nischaya. That's what I was saying. Purushartha nischaya. It's very important. But that's why Shastram talks about this nischayatmika buddhihi, viveka buddhihi, pramana janita buddhihi, viveka buddhihi. If it is there, one becomes a vivasayi. Okay, vivasayi means what? One becomes single-pointed. Then his end is very clear. Then his attitude changes. He knows the value of values. He knows the value of dharma. Then he is committed to the point of artha and kama. But always in conformity with dharma. I tell you, artha kamas he pursues, but not at the cost of dharma. Okay?
Yeah.
That's why very important, because that in conformity with dharma, for moksha becomes. But what I'm saying
is, when there is purushartha nischaya, then will there be a natural measure for how much artha, how much karma?
Naturally, yeah, there'll be some understanding. That's what I'm saying.
That will become naturally.
See, artha kamas, how much ever you want, okay,
yeah.
You will be, already your paratha is there. You will be destined, you are already destined, you are already blessed to, enjoy some pleasures and some wealth, okay, food, shelter, some good people, good love, okay, loving people at home, and then all these things are precious, no? Pleasure, in fact. Everything. Good children and good family and good people, and then good friends and good even associates, everything pleasure, come up with you. And also money, everything, you are already, how much ever you slog, okay, but you are already blessed with pleasures and artha kamas are already predestined. But still, once you know this, but you will never simply sit, okay, an idle person, never be lazy, but simply you will be doing what you have to be doing. That is Swadharma Anushtanam. What my duty is, do your duties in conformity with Dharma. You are pursuing, and whatever comes, you know, okay, is prasada. Then your attitude changes. Purushartha Nischaya, I tell you, makes life so simple, nice. Otherwise, you'll be competing, comparing, you know, it's very difficult. I don't say you'll be very highly industrious, highly enterprising, highly active, at the same time, you know, very prudent, thoughtful, and you know how to take things. Okay, how all the results of actions. Okay, your friend does less work, he gains more. You work hard, much more work, but you gain less. Even then, you will know how to take it. That his punyam, that's my punyam. I have this much punyam to gain this much. Work hard, more hours, better work, better quality of work, still I get this much. Even the quality of work is very, you know, mediocre, but still they gain more. Like that, it happens. Now what I'm saying, but then, even though, suppose if we are blessed with more also, lot more money also, you will know how to draw a line. You have the sense of belonging. All the attitude will change. So, and naturally, you won't be, you won't be greedy. Okay, of course, even in spite of whether you are greedy or not, if already you have punyam, you cannot deprive, okay? You cannot say no to what Bhagavan has blessed you, is going to bless you with. But the greed won't be there. That's not man. See, being greedy is different from, okay, wanting to accumulate more. Again, suppose a rich person who has a lot of money already, who makes more and more of money, with proper attitude, he is not still greedy, because he gives employment to so many people, he gives life to so many again people like that. Again, greed is only pitiji. Now that again it has to be understood. The purushartha nischeha is there, understand, and then you won't be greedy, and you will be accumulating, you will be working. See that, how much you will always be the best contributor. Best contributor means what? You spare your time and energy, all your time and energy for the most useful thing. But still, how much you get, that is, you keep it with your Papa. Om Purnamada
Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.